When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I came across one of the creepiest, most bizarre stories the other day. Just trust me, things are about to get very eerie. This is the last house on the left. My family and I have been going through a very strange experience the last couple months. It's hard to even put into words, but here it goes. My name's Eric. This is what happened to me and my family when we moved into that house. The last house on the left. We only lasted 3 weeks, and I'm still trying to make sense of what happened. We'd been house hunting for about a month, staying with the in-laws for the time being and itching for our own space. We were in the market for a rental. We had just moved back to Vermont to be closer to family. Coming from New York City, we were used to city life and slowly getting used to life here. We wanted to save up before buying, but needed a good-sized home to rent in the meantime. My wife, Janessa, and I have two kids, Noah, who was 6, and Marie, 4. One day this past May, we came upon something that looked promising. It was an older colonial built in the 1820s. I have lived in New England my whole life, so I'm very used to older homes. This place had a big yard, 4 bedrooms, tons of room, not far from Middlebury, where Janessa's parents live. And it was literally the last house on the left. The house was a decent price, very doable for us, and it was in a quiet neighborhood, lots of trees. A little outdated on the inside, but my wife found it charming. We did a walkthrough and felt this would be good for at least a year or two. We decided to take it. Maybe this should have tipped me off, but when I told the property manager we wanted it, the first words out of her mouth were, "Really?" Like she knew something we didn't. We put in our application and we were approved. The place was ours. Signed a year lease. The first red flag came from a neighbor. We were unloading the U-Haul when a neighbor passed by. As I stated, we were the last house on the left, but our house backed up to a trail, so many of the neighbors would walk up and down passing our house to get back there. This neighbor was an older guy, thin, walking a little terrier. He paused at the end of our driveway, squinting up at the house. Then he spoke. "Good luck in there," he said, as his dog barked incessantly at the house. No smile, no welcome to the neighborhood. He just kept walking towards the trail and didn't look back. Janessa laughed it off and said, "Maybe he's not big into new neighbors." But his comment didn't sit right with me. The house had this smell when we first walked in, like mothballs and something sweet, rotting sweet. We figured it was just old house smell. We opened the windows and lit candles. That first night, it began. We had ordered pizza, ate it off paper plates in the family room. The kids had both fallen asleep on the couch. I went outside to unload our car. My wife, Janessa, went into the kitchen to begin unpacking things. Utensils, cups, things we would need for the next morning. It was then she was texting her mom. Janessa was using talk to text as she always did. The plan was for my mother-in-law to come over the next day to check out the place. So Janessa has her hands full of dishes, phone propped up on the counter. She talked casually to her phone, said something like, "Hey, Mom, move in went smoothly. We are exhausted, though. See you tomorrow." She didn't check it, just hit send, and continued unpacking. A minute or so later, Janessa's phone went off. A text back from her mom. It read, "What? What do you mean?" Janessa walked back over to her phone and reread the message that was sent. At the end of her text, after she said, "See you tomorrow," there was something she never said. A haunting sentence. It read, "I'm here, but she doesn't see me." Janessa ran to find me, weirded out, again stating she never said those words. There was no music in the kitchen, no background noise. Heck, we hadn't even plugged in our TV yet. Noah and Marie were asleep. I was outside in the driveway. It was chilling, to say the least. Those words, "I'm here, but she doesn't see me." I tried to comfort her. Maybe Siri picked up on a radio signal nearby. My wife and I stared at the message that night, trying to make sense of it, but we were exhausted. So eventually, we just moved on. We began noticing small things. Janessa heard whispering in the kitchen when she was making coffee. She thought it was the kids, but they were still asleep. I walked into her office to find all of our moving boxes had been dumped over. I guess it happened sometime in the night. And I mean every single box. I was the one who took those boxes in, so I knew I put them right side up. But something or someone had knocked all of them over. And it kept happening. Things moved, lights turned on in rooms we hadn't entered. The basement light would flicker nonstop, no matter how many bulbs I changed. I also noticed something rather strange. We noticed that when anyone would walk past our house with their dogs, the dogs went absolutely nuts, barking, seemingly at our house, every time. And as soon as they would pass it, the dogs seemed to return to normal. Another red flag. A week in, I started hearing footsteps at night, always around 3 a.m., like someone quickly walking from one room to the other, almost like they were checking bedrooms, looking for something or someone. The footsteps were heavy, deliberate, from the hallway to our bedroom door. Then they'd stop. No knock, no creak of the door, just silence. I checked every time, nothing there. Once, I opened the door fast, thinking maybe one of the kids was sleepwalking. But the hallway was freezing, like walking into a meat locker. One day I was at the house alone. Janessa and the kids had run over to the store and I was going to stay back and try to catch up on some work on my computer. I had music playing in the background on my computer when suddenly I noticed this strange humming sound. At first, I believed it was part of the song I was listening to, but then I got this really bad feeling. It felt too close. I turned down the volume on my computer and could hear it. A woman humming this distinct melody, like it was coming from upstairs. The rational thoughts popped into my head first. Did I leave the TV on in our bedroom? I got up and began making my way up the stairs. The woman's eerie humming getting louder with every step I took. Then, as soon as I hit the top of the stairs, she stopped. I walked around frantically checking every room, but there were no radios on, no TVs, and I'll never forget that haunting melody she was humming. Here's where it gets really strange. A few days later, everyone was at home. We were about to head out to dinner when I heard that humming again, that same melody, except this time, it was my wife. I ran into our bedroom where she was getting changed for dinner and nearly screamed, "Where did you hear that song? Why are you humming that?" She looked surprised and said she didn't know. She had woken up and the song had been stuck in her head all day, like a loop. When I asked her if she knew the song, she said no, she had never heard it before, but couldn't stop humming it. It was around this time I started to believe there was truly something up with this house. It is officially spooky season, and where I live, the weather's getting a little chillier at night, and there's nothing I love more than curling up with my Lola blankets. I definitely consider myself to be a blanket person, a blanket connoisseur, if you will, and my Lola blanket is my number one favorite. I love it so much, I am going to replace it with all my other blankets. Not only that, but Lola has become my go-to gift because I know people will love it and will use it. Lola has over 10,000 five-star reviews, and once you feel it, you will get why. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 35% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code AFTERDARK at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code AFTERDARK for 35% off. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about Lola Blankets, and please support the show and tell them that I sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. A few days later, I talked to the neighbor again, the same guy who said good luck in there, kind of cornered him when he was out with his dog again. I said, "Hey, about what you said the day we moved in." He just shook his head. He said, "Nobody stays long in that house. It don't want people." He continued, "I've lived on the street for nearly 30 years and have never seen anyone live there for more than a few months. I've seen strange things myself, figures moving in the windows when it's been vacant." I told him, "Yeah, my family and I have noticed some things. Never lived in a haunted house before," I said, half-heartedly trying to lighten the mood. In reality, I was trying to ease my regret of renting the place. "I wouldn't step foot in there," he said, then continued on his walk. By week two, the kids were changing. Marie began getting very quiet, very out of character for her. She was usually a chatty kid, sassy even. We loved that about her, but she became very subdued. Noah started drawing pictures of a woman, tall, with no face but had long black hair. He said, "She stands in the corner of my room at night and watches me." Then came the dreams. Janessa, who had always been a deep sleeper, I was always envious of her, had been sleeping horribly since moving in, waking up numerous times a night, nightmares, always about the house. She was being trapped inside. She couldn't get out. And in every dream, she would see the woman with no face, long black hair. It was like the house was invading her subconscious. 3 weeks in, Janessa was losing sleep. I was exhausted. The kids were on edge. We hit our breaking point. We were all in the living room one evening after dinner. And then it began. Above, we heard footsteps, like someone quickly checking room after room, almost like it was trying to find us. Then, every door in the house slammed shut at the same time. Then, the electricity went out. Total darkness. It felt like something from a horror movie. The kids were screaming, my wife yelling. I quickly turned the flashlight on my phone. I grabbed Marie, Janessa got Noah. As we turned towards the front door, I turned my flashlight and I saw it. Her. A dark shape, what appeared to be a woman, slowly floating towards us. I only caught a partial glimpse of her for maybe a second or two, and I must have been the only one who saw as the kids and Janessa and I bolted out the front door. No one else said anything. We hopped in the car and peeled out of the driveway, the last house on the left, in our rearview mirror. We drove. My wife was breathing heavily. We were in complete shock. The kids were silent. None of us spoke for minutes. Stayed at a hotel that night, shaken. The next morning, I called the real estate office to break our lease. I told them about what happened, about the activity, what happened the night before, and wanted to know if the office knew anything about it and didn't tell us. Were they aware that the place was haunted? The assistant just kept telling me that she didn't know what I was talking about. I feel she was lying, though. I went back to the house the next week with my brother and friend, and we packed up our things. Janessa and the kids never wanted to step foot back inside that house. This was months back, and since, I'll admit, I've driven by. And now I've seen the last house on the left is boarded up, with a big sign, "Do not enter. Trespassers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." I've tried to call the rental office numerous times, asking about the house, what was going on. I have asked point blank, "Why is the house boarded up? And does it have anything to do with the paranormal activity?" And they always brush me off, stating the house has plumbing issues. That's it. Yeah, right. I know why it's empty, why it's closed up. They can't get anyone to stay there, and they can't get whatever is inside to leave. My wife and I have looked into the history of the home and it being so old. There have been many different owners, so we aren't sure who would be haunting the place. Haunting is a great way to describe it, because we left that place months ago and are still haunted by what we saw and what we felt. Janessa still has nightmares, and my kids still talk about the woman with long dark hair. Ooh. Thank you to Eric for sharing your story. Some houses aren't meant to be lived in. And you know, if you're moving into the place and a neighbor walks by and says, "Good luck in there"? Yeah, that's not a good sign. Very spooky. And I wonder who the tall woman with no face and long dark hair is. Are you in the mood for another creepy little story? Good, I got one for you. This is The Night Out. Something so disturbing happened to me, and I'm trying to make sense of it a year later. Last October, I'd flown to Tampa for work, a marketing conference, so days of panels and networking. The second night, I had plans with a college friend of mine who lived in town, Annie. I had been to town a few years back and had visited her at her house, and I was really looking forward to seeing her. I knew where she lived, and she was only about 20 minutes from my hotel. I let her know I was going to be in town, and she said, "Let's meet at her house, then we would head out for dinner and drinks. Fun girls' night out." So after I was done with work for the day, I went to my hotel room, got changed, put her address in my GPS, and made my way over to her place. Annie lived in an old house her parents had bought as an investment property. Cute. Quaint. It was just after 8 p.m. when I pulled up. The street was dark. No streetlights. Annie's house sat back from the road, partially hidden behind some tall hedges. I pulled my rental car up in the front of her house, and I was surprised to look and see that her front door was wide open. Not just cracked, wide open. The porch light was off, and the inside of the house was dark. I remember sitting in the car for a few minutes, just staring. Annie's car wasn't in the driveway, and I had this instant bad feeling about it, but I brushed it off. Maybe she'd stepped outside. Maybe she was expecting me and left the door open. I dialed her phone number, it rang, and went to voicemail. I tried again. Nothing. I got that nervous, sick feeling in my stomach. But I didn't want to be rude, so I got out of the car. I walked up the stone steps to the front porch. The door stood open in front of me. Beyond that was just darkness. I stopped just short of the front porch and called out, "Hey, Annie, is everything okay?" For a second, nothing. Then I heard it. A voice. Her voice. It came from just inside the doorway, like she was standing a few inches away. But it didn't sound right. It was Annie's tone, but slower, like a recording played at the wrong speed. Two words. It said, "Come in." Inviting, but not. I froze. Every hair on my arm stood up. Something about the way she said it felt wrong. I didn't move, just stood there, frozen. And then I heard a sound, the faintest movement, like someone shifting their weight on old wood floors. But the house looked empty, dark. I couldn't see anyone inside. I said louder this time, "Why are you in the dark? Come out." The same voice came again, still right at the door, but I couldn't see a person. "Come in." Only this time, it sounded like she was mocking me. And then, a giggle. Like the person was laughing at me. That was enough. My intuition was screaming at me to get out of there. I didn't say anything, just started backing away slowly, my heart pounding. I quickly made my way back to my car. I slammed the door, locked it, just sat there, gripping the steering wheel, staring at that open door. No one came out. Was this some kind of a joke? I never knew Annie to do anything like this. Was she okay? What was going on? My hand shaking, I dialed her number again. Nothing. Just her voicemail. I was so freaked out, I was just about to dial 911 when headlights appeared at the end of the street. A car turned into the driveway. A white SUV. Annie's car. My stomach dropped as I saw her park next to me, get out, and begin waving to me. Excitedly, she started bouncing towards me, smiling as usual. "Hey, you're here early. Sorry I had to run to the pharmacy to grab a prescription before they closed. It's so good to see you." I rolled down my window, my hand shaking. "Annie, your front door's been open and I heard you inside," I said. Annie looked at the house, then back at me. Her smile quickly faded. "What? I wasn't here. I locked the door when I left." We both turned towards the house. The door was still wide open. Annie jumped in my car and we locked the door. She dialed 911 as she thought it was an intruder waiting for us. "But it wasn't an intruder, Annie. It was you. It was your voice," I said. She said she lived alone. No one else should be inside the house. No friends staying with her. The Tampa police came and two officers did a sweep of the house. I told them about what happened, but they found no one. They didn't really have an explanation for it either. Just told Annie to keep a lookout. The officers found no sign of forced entry. No trace of anyone there. After the police left, Annie went inside to lock up, but I waited in the car. Annie tried to rationalize it the rest of the night, saying maybe I heard an echo. Maybe she hadn't shut the door tight enough when she left. But the way her hands were shaking all dinner, I could tell she didn't believe that. At dinner, she did admit something. Her parents had made comments about the house having a quote-unquote weird history. Neighbors reported seeing someone at the windows when it was supposed to be empty. She had never believed any of it, as she had lived there for years and nothing had ever happened there. But this was different. This felt personal. Something in that house had used her voice, mimicked her, and wanted me to come inside. And to this day, I still wonder what would have happened if I did. Annie still lives there. I haven't been back to Tampa since. We've talked a few times in the past year about it, and Annie said nothing like that has happened since. It's been a great place to live. It was the most terrifying experience of my life, and I frequently have nightmares about it. I bet. This story is so interesting to me because I'm not sure what this is. Would this be a doppelganger or a mimic? Because she just heard her voice. She didn't see anyone. Mysterious. Very mysterious. Let me know your thoughts in the comments, because you guys always have really great takes. The fact that it didn't want her to see it, just always stayed in the darkness, that's really eerie. Usually with doppelganger encounters, people will see the actual doppelganger, but not in this case. And I've got one more story for you. This one blows my mind. This is the woman in white. It was supposed to be a fun weekend, a bachelor party trip with the guys at a mountain resort in Breckenridge, Colorado. We'd spent 3 days snowboarding, drinking, laughing, pretending we were still in our 20s. By Sunday morning, everyone else was gone. The others had an early flight back home. They were all heading to Chicago. But my flight wasn't until later in the evening, going to Denver first and then back to Seattle. So there I was, last one left at the resort. The place had a different feel once everyone was gone. Very quiet. I killed time on my computer until finally it was time to check out. The concierge warned me about an incoming storm, saying, "Once the storm hits, don't drive on mountain roads." But I figured I'd beat it. I just wanted to get to the airport and get home. So I thanked the front desk clerk and hit the road. This ended up being one of the worst mistakes of my life. The roads were nearly empty, just fresh snow and the quiet crunch of my tires. The radio was full of weather alerts, fading in and out as I wound through the mountain passes. The drive started out fine. Then, it started snowing. Then, I hit ice. It happened fast. One second, I was rounding a curve. The next, the back end of the rental car swung out like it had a mind of its own. The wheel jerked in my hands, and before I could react, the world spun into a blur. Snow, trees, metal, impact. Everything went silent. When I came to, the car was tilted forward, nose deep in a ditch. My head throbbed. The windshield shattered, cold air rushing in through the broken glass. I tried to move. Pain tore through my ribs. I groaned and leaned back. I could barely move. I must have blacked out because when I opened my eyes again, it was darker. The snow was falling thicker. That's when I saw her. At first, I thought I was seeing things. A shape between the trees in the distance. But then it moved. A woman. She was standing maybe 30 or 40 feet away, half hidden between the pines. I couldn't make out much, just the shape of her. She wore a long white dress, completely wrong for the weather. Her hair hung loose around her shoulders. She was just still, waiting. "Hey," I shouted, or tried to. My voice came out rough. "Help." She didn't move. The air was quiet. I blinked hard, and when I looked again, she was closer. No sound, no movement. I realized I might have a concussion. Then I blinked again. She was closer still. 10 feet away, I could see her face now. Calm eyes. A small, peaceful smile. Not happy exactly, just serene. She tilted her head slightly, like she was studying me through the cracked glass. I wanted to ask who she was, but my voice wouldn't come. My chest hurt, too much to breathe. I just stared back at her, frozen. Not from the cold, but from something deeper. I lost consciousness again. I don't know for how long. When I opened my eyes the next time, she was even closer. Standing right outside my window. Her hand pressed against the glass. I was fading fast. I passed out again. When I woke up, there were people shouting around me. Lights flashing. "Sir, can you hear me?" Two EMTs were crouched beside the car. My vision was blurry. I felt pain. "You're lucky," one of the EMTs said. "Someone saw your car's headlights down here from the highway. They loaded me onto a stretcher, started checking my vitals." "There was a woman," I said. "Out there, she was watching me. In a white dress, you need to find her. She might be hurt." The EMTs stopped what they were doing. "Sir," one of them said carefully, "there's no one out here." "No, she was right there," I insisted, trying to point towards the trees. "She came right up to the car. She was..." When I turned my head, I saw it myself. The snow around the ditch was untouched. Smooth. Not a single footprint. "It's just you. You were alone." I wanted to argue, but the words just wouldn't come. They loaded me into the ambulance, and as we pulled away, I stared through the back window at the crash site. The forest was fading behind us, just a blur of white. From the crash, I did suffer a concussion and some bruised ribs. But I don't know what she was. A ghost? An angel? Something else entirely. I've told all my friends and family about this, and the general consensus is that she was an angel. There for me in a horrible time. I quickly healed from my injuries and feel blessed to be alive. I'll say. What do you make of it? It sounds like an angel to me. But what do you think? Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode.